So mostly since I'm doing this on my day off today, 'cause we're a little late, sorry guys, on the podcast here. I have not showered yet 'cause my wife took forever in the shower. So that is why I am disguised as Rocket Raccoon. So
So you
I
smell
love
like a
these new avatars. No, it's my hair is just fucking crazy. It's terrible. My
raccoon.
dogs are behind me. The sunlight's behind me. This is why we shoot this thing at night. So, thank you for everybody who followed us on the whatnot sale today. While we didn't make a lot of sales, we are growing the audience pretty well, which is cool. Yeah. Remember every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 a.m. Justin curates some stuff and Scott gets on there and makes everything crispy for us and
We're gonna so overuse that word. It's gonna be
I told like I said in
gloriously
the chat
annoying.
this morning, man, like 'cause I really think you should start using bangers. Bangers are good. Bangers is still something kids use, right? Bangers.
I think
That thing is
so.
banging, bangers. This is banging. So, Marvin's watching this morning. Actually, Marvin, no, it's not impromptu. It's just because I ended up having to run a magic event real late last night. So we kind of pushed it. My bad. Next week, we should be back on Thursday. Though I'll probably be airing from Cranberry again because Friday, I will be at Iron Maiden. Yeah, it's gonna be a good time. So, how was your Halloween?
I worked at the waterfront. It was very chill. Worked with our other host, Tim Cope, for the first time in a while. Caught up a little bit, and that was about it, though. It was not very fun.
Yeah.
Didn't get dressed up or anything. Didn't give out candy because there's no kids in our neighborhood. So, and the wife is in Rhode Island Comic Con currently. So,
Oh. You didn't just like sit on the porch with your dog and your cats and like throw candy at kids on the street or people that walk by anyway?
there wasn't too many people on the street, so.
I'd have bought some like fun size Snickers and just whipped them at them. That'd have been hilarious. So.
Feed the deer by chucking Snickers at them. That'll
Right.
work.
Yeah, I was at Cranberry. I ran a sealed event for the magic guys up there. And then I didn't get home till probably like 10:30. So I watched no, the night before I watched Agatha. It was a lot of fun.
I was going to say it was very well written, and it was very.
I liked the second to last episode, the penultimate episode, but the very last episode I thought was like, while it was a cool like kind of wrap up, I thought if they would have been flip-flopped, I thought it would have been a better way to go. That's
It was kind of
my
odd how they did that, but I again, overall, Marvel needs to do this like with everything. I figure,
Well, I think they just need to. I just think they just need to not put out as much stuff so fast, and I think they'll be fine. And that's the plan, according to Iger. So I'm good
Well,
with that.
if you caught they had a trailer for Disney Plus for next year already. So, they of course pushed the new Daredevil, which looks amazing. It looks very much like they're doing Kingpin versus Daredevil with Kingpin running for political office. That's going to be interesting. They put up, what is a Wonder Man? We got a closer look at Wonder Man by the looks of it, and that looks to be entertaining, to be honest. They went kind of the Ant-Man route of me being more on the light comical side of things. which I'm
Yeah.
not totally against if that is the progress you're going to do. I'm cool
Right.
with that. Because they have what, Sir Ben Kingsley reprising his role as the down and out actor. I forget what his character's name is, but he is Wonder Man's acting coach.
Oh, the guy who played the Mandarin.
Yeah,
Ben
yeah,
Kingsley.
yeah, yeah. But he was in Shang-Chi, and apparently this is after that point. So he's teaching Wonder Man. He's trying to get Wonder Man the job or whatever by the early look at what they showed. We're going to get what, season three of What If, which I'm cool with. I like the What If
Trevor
series.
Slattery, thank you.
Yeah.
Came out of the chat. Yep.
There you go. We're getting Marvel Zombies. That's coming out too, which I'm excited for. I'm a big sucker for Marvel Zombies. What else was there? Oh, the Iron Heart. They're taking it a different direction, but I'm liking it because we're finally getting Mephisto by the looks of it, and we're getting the Hood. So
Yeah, but I think the
that.
Hood was supposed to be the villain the whole time. So that part didn't change.
Well, I think they're doing it. I think they rewrote it. I don't think he's the true bad guy. I think Mephisto is going to be the true bad guy, at least the one pulling the strings, pulling the Thanos pulling string thing.
My guess is that originally it was going to be Kang, and they probably had to rewrite it to work in Mephisto instead of Kang. So,
Which actually works out better anyway, because the Hood is probably more along the line of Mephisto than Hood being involved with Kang. So
yes,
I'm cool
agreed.
with that. That's more along the line of comic continuity. I'm cool with it. But yeah, it looks promising. Each show looks promising. If the writing is as good as they did with Agatha, it should be the upswing that Marvel's been looking for to get everything kind of back on the track. So we'll see.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be good. Yeah, so cool.
I think there was
Other than
something
that,
else, but I
like,
totally forget what it was.
yeah,
There
I'm not.
was another thing. I'm just forgetting what the
I don't know. I don't think there was anything else in the Marvel
It
trailer,
was,
because there was like five different things, which is
yeah, but I think I
fine.
only named four, so
No,
I'm
I thought you
missing
named all
one.
five. But I mean, that's still a lot. I mean, it's like one qu it's at least quarterly, which is fine. I think
Yeah.
that's plenty.
Yeah. And that's not counting the movies. They haven't announced any movie yet. This is
Well, they
just the
did.
Disney
The
Plus stuff.
movies are already announced. The movies are going to be Captain America, Fantastic Four, and
Thunderbolts.
Thunderbolts. Oh, Marvin said, "What if? What if season three?" That was the other one
No,
I
I
missed.
mentioned that.
Okay.
Yep. Oh, I don't forget
So,
about What If. I enjoy that a lot. So,
yeah, I think you named them all. I think we're good. So,
okay.
anyway, yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I thought Agatha wrapped up well. I thought they did well with the whole thing. I thought it was cool to see Wiccan in his full outfit as an adult.
Yes.
I was actually kind of sad they didn't like get to Tommy, but they set it up for a second season option,
Yeah, I think that's what it's going to be.
or something else. I don't think so though. I think he's going to actually end up being in one of the other TV shows. He may end up being in the Vision show. Although Iron Lad could be in the Vision show, because they still have to get those two guys, if they do Iron Lad at all, to do the
Yeah.
Young Avengers. I think they at least have to do Speed for sure.
Yeah.
And they might just use Scar
Well,
as
we.
Hulkling instead.
Yeah.
So, which
Yeah.
I think is what they're gonna do, which is fine by me.
Yeah.
And then they
Scar's not
gotta
exactly that thing.
Yeah, but they gotta hurry up because if they don't, these guys are gonna not be young Avengers anymore. They're gonna be middle-aged Avengers, or at least aged
Well,
Avengers
I was going to say they'll be
in their twenties.
the age 30 Avengers. They're going to be in
Yeah,
their they'll all be in
like
their 30s.
if Haley gets to the point where she's 30, I think you have a problem. They're no longer young Avengers at that point.
I
So.
mean, I'm sure that that's the plan, and we'll probably see that what next year, or well, 2016, I should say. I can't say
26,
next year.
26, you mean, yeah,
Yeah.
26.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
So it'll
I
be,
think that's where it's
yeah.
heading. Agreed.
So, yeah, maybe we'll get another Hugh Jackman appearance somewhere in there just to let us know he's still Wolverine and fun stuff like that, I'm sure.
I
I
really
think they're
want
leaving. They're
I
leaving a surprise for next year, something. There is
so
something they're going to do.
the more I think about and talk to people about Deadpool Wolverine, the more I think about the fact that they missed an opportunity not having a huge yak man in that movie as a joke. Like honestly, like how freaking hilarious would that have been? Just be like, "Oh, it's a huge yak man." Like that would have just been hilarious. So. All
Well,
right.
didn't they have that yak? Was it the yak apprentice in Doctor Strange, too?
Yeah, that's true. All right. Let's talk comics.
All
So
right.
all right. You are first.
All right. We got the Batman, The Long Halloween, The Last Halloween, number two. I'm a little bit behind in this series, but I am enjoying it because it is Jeff Loeb. That's always good. And all the covers are excellent in this too. But it starts out, and of course, like all the Long Halloween stuff, it is starts out with the month. And it says November, and you see two guys on a ship that are chain up Solomon Grundy and then chuck him into the water. And they're having a conversation while they're doing this, and it's not really relevant. But it just seemed like they were just talk like kind of doing the mobster thing of just bullshitting about their everyday problems while they're taking care of this. Robin and Batman break into, well, they're in Arkham to talk to, trying to figure out what's going on with all these murders because now people are getting murdered, people are getting kidnapped. Because for those who don't know what's going on in the story, Jim Gordon's son has been kidnapped. They're trying to figure out who's doing it, but every time Batman figures out through clues who's doing this, that person ends up dead. So Batman is interrogating Mad Hatter in Arkham, while Robin is talking to Calendar Man. Again, you're really not learning anything because you're really not seeing a lot of the dialogue between the two conversations other than, just idle conversation. But later in the book, we find Robin and Batman. They find Catwoman who got shot in the leg, and it apparently. This is whenever they're finding bodies, they're always shot to death. So there's something going on with someone shooting at all these villains and trying to take care of them. So after they find Catwoman and kind of talk to her and then grab her costume and some of the other items that they need to kind of figure out the case. They move on. You find Jim Gordon is in his office and he gets delivered true Sicilian mobster style. about his son, and it's his clo it's his son's clothes with fishes like wrapped around it and everything, which is, for those who don't have never watched The Godfather or have heard know the background of Sicilian mafia, when someone does that, that means they're sleeping with the fishes, aka been killed. And of course Jim's losing it. And that's when they notice that the bat signal has been turned on, and neither one of them did it. But so they go up to investigate, and it's two guys from the FBI that give Batman an umbrella, which that can only mean the Penguin. We find the Penguin sitting there just chowing down. But he gets confronted and chased by scarecrows, which is Scarecrow's minions. They end up chasing him while Batman's trying to chase the Penguin himself. They shoot the Penguin and just beat on him until he dies. Batman finds him, but he, of course, it's one of those, he's standing over the body. The FBI guys, like, that started the ball rolling are trying to frame Batman, and Batman escapes. So that is the end of this book. It's getting interesting to see what's going on. I have a feeling that this is like more street mafia goings on than there is with the actual Batman's rogue gallery. They're just cannon fodder. But it was really good. It's very detective heavy Batman, not so much action Batman. So if you enjoy a good mystery, which the long Halloween title is always one of those thinking man's Batman type of books, you will enjoy this. I'm gonna give this. Give me two scrambled eggs with a small side of yogurt and crunchy oatmeal on top, because I feel like this is one of those brain food you need. The more brain food you need, the better. Because you're really thinking while you're reading this. It's very intrigued. So, yeah, give me the maybe some tea, some Earl Grey tea or black tea to get the
Earl
mind
Grey.
juices
Hot.
flowing.
Cool. All right. My first book is Devour. I think this is a one shot. Yeah, it's a one shot. This is from the It Happened on Hyde Street miniseries run that the Ghost Machine guys are doing as a sidestep for Hyde Street, which is kind of like the Twilight Zone section of Ghost Machine's branding. This is very satirical, especially in the world today, and it's even weirder because like I am actually on some weight loss pills to help me with weight loss. So this is it starts out back in 1983. And this girl who is a little girl, she's tried some weight loss stuff, but she isn't really trying. She like she doesn't really exercise or anything. And she goes into this place called Fat Free that just opened on Hyde Street. And the person behind the counter, her name is Miss Goodbody. She helps her. She's like, "Hey, would you like some instructional videos? You have some other stuff." She's like, "No, I don't really. Like, I've tried that, I've tried this, nothing really seems to work." So she eventually says, "Well, all you need is really like one good thing to help you." And she hands her a bottle of Devour. She takes it home, and she's her little girl is finding the cookies she hid way up in the cupboard, and she's yelling at the kid like, "Don't be like mom, and stay away from sweets and stuff like that." And the mom like is sitting on the couch watching a exercise video instead of actually sitting and doing the exercise along with the video, and eventually looks at the devourer and is like, okay, I'm gonna open it up, I'm gonna do it. So she opens it up, and then the next thing, it kicks to today, and that girl is now the girl who took the devourer originally is now the grandmother of a girl getting ready to get married. And her granddaughter is getting her dress fitting, and she's like, oh, the dress a little tight. And they go out, and the mom and the grandmother are like, ah, oh, that's the dress is clearly too tight. Like, why aren't you like, you need to be thinner, blah blah blah. And she's like, well, I can do this on my own. So, and the mom who was the daughter in the past sections, he's like, yeah, she can do it on her own. I believe in my daughter. So, she has like 100 days till the wedding. So she goes through and she kind of starves herself and she exercises like hell. And she does all this stuff. And the great grandmother, or her great, or sorry, her aunt, her great aunt is at this thing and she or is at their wedding, the wedding shower. And she's kind of like super frail, and all of a sudden you see like the mom and the grandmother are like, we'll help her get skinny just like us, and they're like gorging themselves even though they're like extremely skinny, like skin and bone skinny. So she goes for the second dress fitting at 57 days out, and it's a little better, but it's not quite where it needs to be. So she goes into the fat-free place. And Miss Goodbody's still there, and she tries to get like the granddaughter to take the same place, and she's like, the granddaughter's like, no, I'm gonna do this on my own. And the scout kid from the first issue is there, tries to sell her cookies. She says no. So she's a teacher and she's at school, and this little kid is having her birthday and she brought cupcakes for everybody. So she has a cupcake and her aunt busts in the door and she's like, you're in danger, you're in danger. She's like, Aunt Sherry, what are you doing here? She's like, don't trust your mom, don't trust your sister, or don't trust your grandmother, don't trust your mom. She's like, why not? She's just like, you've been warned. And her mom or her aunt falls over dead, and the cops are like, or the police are like, she's it looks like she'd been starving herself. She's like, what? That can't be. So she goes home and talks to her mom, and her mom's like, oh, this is terrible, blah blah blah. So she hears this noise in the kitchen. She's like, what the hell is that? She walks in and it's her grandmother eating like an entire turkey and just gorging, even though she's super tiny. And she's like, we've been waiting. And she said, I'm disappointed in you. It's time you, or I thought you were stronger than me. It's time you learn, and you can be happier, and you can be skinny. And they open the can of Devour, and they open their mouths, and these giant, like, crazy, like, alien worm, like, things come flying out of their mouths and out of the can. So then it cuts to 0 days before the wedding, and she's super skinny. And she gets married, and you find out that she basically has this like super tapeworm inside her. And then she has a kid, and she's like, you'll be happy just like me. And she gives the baby, like she either eats the baby or gives the baby the tapeworm right away. It's like the craziest fucking story I've read in a really long time. This book was so good and so weird and messed up. I loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it. I'm going to give it let's see, because this is the sort of still Halloween edition, I'm going to give it an entire pumpkin pie with a whole pumpkin roll and a pumpkin spice latte. That's how good this was. And I don't even like pumpkin. So
Yeah, I know you don't. You hate pumpkins.
yeah. Well, I'll have a pumpkin spice latte or a pumpkin beer every once in a while, but that's pretty much it. But it was really freaking good. Like, I was like the whole time, I'm like, what's in the can? Like, what is it? Like, what is the thing? And it definitely had that cool, like, Twilight Zone vibe the whole book, like, which is what I like about the whole Hyde Street vibe. I really like it. So, make sure you check it out. I like it.
All right, now this is from last week, Hulk number 18. They, as was it, Charlie has been captured by the entity. She wakes up in this dream dimension, and is explained that she is going to be trapped there until Hulk gives the entity what they want from him, which is basically his rage and his power. While that's going on, Hulk is chained up with these magical chains that is holding him, which I find hilarious because it's technically nothing can really hold Hulk down. But we find out that Bruce Banner kind of made a deal with the entity, which is helping hold Hulk down. So again, Bruce is kind of screwing everything up here, or there's a plan, which doesn't make any difference to Hulk because Hulk's just angry at Bruce. But they try to take Hulk's power. Hulk basically just kind of they reach into him, and his power is so great that it's literally pushes the one minion across the cavern that they have him in, and as this minion is flying, it ends up ripping apart a couple of the other minions that were like directly behind her. So he's like, puny. And again, we go back to Charlie, and Charlie's trying to find a way out of this dreamland. And she's being held there by all these minions. These are all like former humans that the entity has kind of taken over, and they kind of turn into these demon-esque type disciples. So they're trying to, one of her one friend that was taken over still has a little bit of humanity left in them, and they're trying to fight against this entity. So she kind of helps Charlie escape. And Charlie kind of was it is hiding underneath, like in this weird altar underneath a skinned wolf. So they're trying to track her, and they can't quite find her. But again, this is like the way the book ends is her hiding, and they're trying to find her. It was interesting. I am a little bit lost because it has been a while since I have done a Hulk book, an Incredible Hulk book dealing with the main continuity. But it's I am enjoying the fact that he is fighting against a monster. But again, it's I am getting kind of tired of the whole Banner and Hulk hating each other and fighting against each other. Meanwhile, the entire world and Charlie is constantly in danger. But in general, I am enjoying this. This is much better than Robot Hulk. That never quite sat well with me. But I'll give this a solid like two regular scrambled eggs, two pieces of bacon. It's above average. It's good story. The art is fine. I hope this is wrapping up sooner than later. We'll see. I think the next book is the 800 issue of Incredible Hulk. So we'll see what they do with that.
Cool. Did you rate this? I can't remember. Did you just did I miss that? Yeah.
You missed it. I
Yeah,
gave it
just.
like two scrambled eggs and two pieces of bacon.
Oh, that was it. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It's above oatmeal, but it's not like super, oh my God, explode like revelation or anything.
That's like, oh yeah, you continued into like more of like I haven't read Hulk and stuff after that, and that's I think I like forgot. My bad.
Yeah,
All right.
it's fine.
I don't know why the cover to this is so tiny, by the way, but it's very black. This is Redcoat number 7. I specifically did not do Redcoat 6 because it is the penultimate episode issue of the first arc, and it has most of the crazy shit that happens in the big fight. This issue is after that issue, and it's Simon waking up to basically say goodbye to old man Einstein. So he gets up, he's clean shaven, he takes a taxi to a pub, he has a single beer. He doesn't even have it. He gets in there, he orders the beer, doesn't even drink it, goes to the hospital, and then he has this really long chat with Einstein about, how their friendship was, and how Einstein, even though he was way is still way younger than him, Einstein now feels almost like Simon's dad because of how old Einstein is as a older man. And he encourages Simon to keep having these adventures, and someone had stolen the Constitution. He's like, I think that was you that got it back, wasn't it? And he's like, yeah. So it was very, very touching, very, very like sad. And it was a very great wrap up to like this first arc, where Simon now is, instead of kind of being like like throwing caution to the wind guy, he is now way more responsible and understands that he's immortal and he has a job, to kind of, do good, and kind of help the country that he almost helped destroy. And it shows Einstein passing away in the hospital with Simon by his bed. And the next arc begins in issue 8 in December. It was very, like I said, it was very touching, very sad. I'm going to give it oh man, I'm gonna give it a Belgian waffle with blueberries, whipped cream, a side of coffee, and a cup of fruit. Because I feel like that would be like an Einstein breakfast. That to me just sounds like something Einstein would have.
It does. It sounds like that would be
But
something.
it's very cool because, like, Einstein like lights up in the hospital bed when he sees him. He kind of lights up like he was when he was a kid, and it's if you've read the whole book and you saw their relationship grow through it, it's very, very cool to watch how that developed. It was very nice. I thought that was a very great wrap up to that first arc. I very, very much so am impressed with it. So make sure you check out Redcoat number 7.
All right. This is Wolverine Revenge number 3. And boy, this is very action-packed, very old school Wolverine. If you're not reading this series as a Wolverine fan, you're missing some fun here. This is not a lot of words in this. This is a lot of action. We see Wolverine getting on a boat, of course, being threatened by soldiers because at this time, again, the world is in chaos because of all the what is it? The electromagnetic pulse has pretty much like thrown the world into chaos. So people are taking advantage of and this, that, and the other. Well, Wolverine, they're like, what are you supposed to be? Because again, it's just everyday people. And Wolverine's like, yeah, I'm going to give you like a count of 10 to let me on this boat, or you're going to be missing a few things. We don't see anything, but I think the guy got the idea. So he's on a boat. He arrives in, I'm assuming, Russia at this point, because he's walking in the dead of winter, and you're seeing two nuclear smokestacks, but something's different because it's glowing red. They're glowing red, which is never a good sign of nu when you're around nuclear plant when it's glowing red. As he's getting closer to that, Omega Red tries to surprise attack Wolverine. Wolverine pretty much just slices and dices him and takes one of his own tentacles, chokes the life out of him with it, and then strings him up with his own tentacle at a nearby tree. As he gets closer to the nuclear smokestacks, on top of one of the stacks is Deadpool just kind of sitting there. And Deadpool kind of, you feel for him a little bit in this because he realizes, like, it's typical Wade. He does something and he's instantly like, yeah, I think I did a bad thing. And I feel a lot of remorse for it, you know, because it's one thing to get paid to kill like a bad guy or something. He's like, I literally threw the world into this apocalyptic, you know, thing, and I didn't even realize that it was going to be this bad. And he actually tries to kill himself. He goes to jump into the stack. And Wolverine grabs him by his belt and he's like, no, we're not done talking. And Wolverine kind of talks a little bit, but I think it was the whole fact of he's like, I know you and I never see eye to eye on a lot of things, but he's like, you're right, you know, you did a bad thing, and you know, and Wade kind of cuts him off and he's like, so does that mean we're gonna collab together and fix this, that, and the other? And Wolverine's like, no, and just kind of pushes him into the nuclear stack, so he gets incinerated by the nuclear fallout, the whatever's coming out of that nuclear plant. We never did really find out what was going on with it. But we later find out it. Flash forward a few weeks because this is taking like time, like weeks at a time, because you can't find anything electrically powered. He finds a small cabin, he sniffs, and no one's letting him in the door. He's not gonna burst down the door, but he's like, fine. He's like, I'll just wait until you come out. And lo and behold, it is Colossus. And Colossus comes out and he's like, just go home. And he's like, I don't have a home to go to because you assholes destroyed it. He's like, but I did do. He's like, I did dig you a grave right here in front of your house. And whoever's in the cabin with you, can, visit your grave because I'll mark it. Colossus is like, that's enough. And they start battling. As I said, Colossus rips off one of Wolverine's arms. While he's busy that doing that, he take Wolverine takes his claws or takes his fist, puts it right under Petey's chin, and just right through the cranium. So that is the end of Colossus. He buries him, and you see the X. Buried over a freshly covered grave, and that is the way this book ends. And it's not done. I think there's another issue after this. But yeah, this is really like Wolverine taking care of Wolverine's business. So I'm gonna give this a give me like a solid meat omelet with some Cajun seasoning in there, because I feel like this is a little bit of a spicy, because there's a lot of blood and gore if you get the blood and gore issue in the baggie. But give me some sausage links, some bacon, and give me an Irish coffee, because you got to put some whiskey into that coffee after killing a bunch of people. So
That's fair.
yeah.
That's definitely fair. All right. My last issue, Chasm, Curse of Kane. Oh wait. I have a question for you before we go into this. So, is it just me? Because you the way you described Russia, is it just me, or does every time they decide to make something happen in Russia, it's always like frozen wasteland? It's always winter. And there's always nuclear power plants. Like, no matter what, it could be summer in Russia, but it's always winter. There's always snow. And it's, I'm like, so is Russia just the land of eternal, like eternal winter? Like, is it just how that works?
It's very similar to like Alaska, is from what I hear, is like summer's literally like maybe 2 months out of the year, and the rest of the year is kind of miserable and gray and covered in snow.
So Pittsburgh.
Minus,
No, no, no,
no,
no, no, no, no,
Pittsburgh's
no.
better than
Like,
that.
no. I mean, I understand like the northern part, like Siberia chunk is like permanent winter, but like Moscow gets like actual summer. Like, it's not permanent winter all the time. So do they just always land like in the northernmost part of Mos or of Russia? Like, what the heck?
Imagine so. It seems like that is the gist of it. Like, you don't want
Okay.
a nuclear power plant near your major city,
Well, that's fair.
and it seems like a lot of the like shady stuff that Russia does is always in a isolated, place.
Right. Like
So,
the, you know. Anyway, okay. I'm gonna continue on. I was just curious. I was just like, this seems weird, but anyway. All
you're
right.
not wrong. It always seems like that. It's, you're not wrong in that fact.
Right. All right. Chasm, Curse of Kane, number three. This starts out with Hallow's Eve is being chased by Chasm in the sewer. Chasm is being possessed by Druig of the Eternals. Hallow's Eve is like, I don't know what's wrong with you, Ben, but you wouldn't hurt me. Why are you trying to hurt me? She puts on a ghost mask and sleeks like slides through a wall. Ben is trying to chase after him. For her, and then it's just like, wait a minute, what's going on? Like, what's going on? And Drury's like, oh, your willpower. Huh, hold on, let me get back there and mess with your brain again. So there's a really cool moment where you actually get to see all the different versions of Ben Reilly as different Spider-Men, which is kind of cool. Like his version of Carnage, like all the different Scarlet Spiders, all the Spider-Men, like him when he was like in like the t-shirt and mask in the blue jeans version. It was kind of neat. Like Druig's like torturing him in his brain. And so Kane comes across Hallow's Eve. They have a little bit of a fight. And then they eventually are like, all right, maybe we should work together. Because Ben's being possessed, maybe. And then they figure out that it's Druig because she says something about an eternal, and he's like, oh no. Please tell me he didn't piss off an eternal. So he shows up, they have a big fight. It's pretty good fight, actually. And then like Hallow's Eve puts on this like big giant dude mask, and she turns into like this giant, like almost like Hulk, like Gray Hulk looking guy, and like she like holds him, and eventually breaks out of that and comes to and is like, we got to figure out what's going on. And Druid kind of like breaks his hold for a little bit. And then Mole Man and all of his people start breaking into the city. And there's this great moment where they're like, what the hell was that? And they're like, well, we should probably go see. And Kane sticks his head out of a manhole and he just goes, fuck. And Ben goes, move, bro, let me see. And he goes, oh, yeah, fuck kind of sums it up. And I was like, that was a really well-written moment right there. So, Kane's gonna try to deal with the Mole Man stuff while Ben's gonna go after Ben and Hallow's Eve are gonna go after Druig. And then in the back there's this really, really beautiful tribute to John Cassidy, which is great. I really like this Chasm stuff. It's done by calls this Steve Fox. The guy who's been writing the latest Spider-Women run. I really, really like this writing. I really think that this guy knows like what spider people work with. Like I think it's a good, I think he's got a good pulse on spider people. I'm gonna give this 2 side-by-side half omelets, one being a Western omelet and one being an all meats omelet. One covered in sriracha and one covered in like a traditional salsa, because they are two spider people that at the core are basically the same, but are very, very different. And also you're reminded in this again that Kane does not have the spider sense. They also make a really good joke about how Chasm has it, and he's like, Chasm sense just doesn't sound right. Which I thought was pretty hilarious. So there's some really, really fun moments in this book. There's some really good moments of them fighting each other. And then it's just good. It's just good spider book. It's just good Marvel book, Marvel writing. I really enjoy it. So yeah, go check it out. Like if you're into Ben Reilly and Kane, definitely check it out. I really, really recommend it. So
Okay.
all right.
Your raccoon's like coughing up blood there by the looks of it.
Really? Is that what it looked like?
You just say the mouth open as like the head. Yeah.
That's really funny. What's really funny is like when I move my hands in front of it and it doesn't, like there's no hands. I'll drink my coffee and it'll open its mouth because I'm drinking coffee, but you don't see the cup, you don't see anything. This avatar is very awkward. There's some really fun ones though. Like I might just do this as a different avatar every week just for fun.
I was gonna say, sure, did it through all October, probably would have been better.
Had I known, I probably would have. But anyway, all right, guys. Don't forget, we do have some other cool stuff coming up. Every Saturday now till the end of, well, till the beginning of December, you can go to the warehouse from 11 to 6, and get some 50-cent books, every Saturday. On the 9th of November, we have Tony Fleeks coming to the waterfront, from 1 to 5, I believe. He's going to be signing Feral, Stray Dogs, Local Man, all kinds of stuff that he's done. Go check him out. Let's see. On the 16th, we have the comic store dollar book team up with K&J Comics, where we'll be selling dollar books at a storefront just down the plaza from them. And details about Black Friday sale coming up soon. Just waiting for approval from the boss. And that's pretty much it, I think. I don't think there's anything else coming up. Oh, thanks for everybody who came out to the Pittsburgh Comic Show last weekend. Like we had a good time, saw a lot of people. Some of the guys in the chat are brothers in arms from both Comicsburg and Riserverse, who are in the chat, were there. We saw you both from a distance. We didn't really get over there to say hi that much, but I ran into Marvin in the restroom. It was fun. So, if anybody has anything they want us to cover, cool. But I think I'm pretty sure that we are going to do. Let's see here. One, two, three. We're gonna do three more shows this year, and then we'll probably take a break till the end of the year. So like we'll do all up to the week before Thanksgiving, and that's it. So three more shows for the rest of the year. So come on and join us for those, and it's gonna be a good time. So oh,
Yeah,
and if
man.
you haven't again, if you're a whatnot guy, make sure you check out our whatnot sales Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 o'clock. Dollar sales. We did some cool DC variants this week. Next week we have mostly dollar books, and then we have some slabs in there mixed in, and we have some what's some like $8 to $10 books coming up on the sale, and it's gonna be a good time. We have some cool stuff.
Yeah,
Make sure.
we're trying our best here, but it's we are slowly but surely getting our footing and back into the swing of things here.
Fair enough.
So
All right,
and
guys. All right, guys. Well, that's about it. We will talk to you later, and see everybody at the stores. Remember to like, subscribe, and share, and we'll talk to you later. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
see you.